Kick off the new year right with a second chance cash back bonus from Naira Bets. This Saturday in the Mucho Macho Man Stakes at Gulfstream, bet $20 to win on one horse using the Naira Bets app. If your horse finishes second, you get your $20 back. New to Naira Bets? No problem. Sign up for Naira Bets today with the promo code MONEY20, that's MONEY20, and get a deposit match bonus up to $200 with Naira Bets. You can bet any track, from anywhere, at any time. Go to NairaBets.com or check out the Naira Bets app. Hello and welcome to the Naira Bets Players Podcast. On this show, we'll be talking about the late pick five for Saturday, January 4th at Aqueduct. I'm your host, Peter Thomas Fornital, back with you in the Brooklyn Bunker once again, joined by a man who is formulating his strategy for the National Horse Players Championship, an event where he once put two entries in the top 10. He then the next year went on to win their prestigious tour. These days, we don't call him the NHC champion. We call him the People's Champion. Jonathan Kitchen, what's up?
What's up, PTF? Yeah, I'm getting ready to do a little Vegas. I was doing some winter cleaning, and I was going through some old mail, and I opened up two things from the wind. And they were like these promotions inviting me, like, you know, those things you get, come stay at the whatever. And I called and the lady said, you know, I said, did you have any availability for February 6th, 7th, and 8th? And she's like, sure, we'll comp your room for you, blah, 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 blah. So I got the win. So while everyone else is moving to Bally's, I'm going to move to the win for the NHC.
Very interesting. Do you have something against Bally's? I figured you want to stay with everybody else.
No, I mean, I'll still have my room there, you know, so if I need to take a nap or something. But no, I mean, I think sometimes, you know, I'm a big believer in look good, play good. And like, I just sometimes I don't know, I've never stayed at Bally's, so maybe I hate the hotel. Maybe the vibe's all off. I mean, I am, you know, it's not Treasure Island, I can tell you that much. But we'll just see. I'm gonna have both of them. They're both free, so I might as well just have both of them.
Keeping your options open, and if we get some degenerates joining us at the last minute, you know, there, you've got somewhere for pipes to stay, so it works out perfect.
Oh, no, you're right. I usually, there's always some random person who shows up, so they can use my room at Bally's as well, so Nick Tamaro is still going to try a soft try at qualifying. I told him I don't know where – that's one constant in my NHC life is Nick sitting at the table with me, so – that could throw me off a little bit. I've had others in and out, Marshall Graham in and out, and Eric Bilek in and out.
But who's
Nick
back?
Is the constant.
Yeah, yeah, he's
Eric is back.
He's back. Eric is back. Hoping that Nick and Sean Borman both make last-minute qualifications. It would be good to see that lot out there. Of course, one of the tracks that will be part of the NHC, Aqueduct, and that's where we're going to be looking for this Saturday. You and I have been both pretty busy lately playing along at Aqueduct. A race we didn't talk about on the other show, we might as well talk about it on here. Independence Hall making the return to the races. I haven't yet seen a figure. I'll try to look that up while we chat. But what did you think of Independence Hall's comeback on New Year's Day?
It's an exciting prospect. You know, I know that, if I'm not mistaken, he was a private purchase with Eclipse. I think he had his first start somewhere in Marshall Graham country in Pennsylvania. I think it was at Park. So he seems like a nice horse, a horse that could definitely go on to be something special. And he got the win. It wasn't flashy, but it was good enough.
Big regression on the buyer's figure scale. From the 101 second time out down to the 83. I didn't like the strength of the urging in the stretch. I don't know if that was aesthetic or was an indicator that the horse wasn't feeling quite as he did the last day, but it's hard to crab when you win by four, but it is noticeable, the 101 down to an 83. Does that give you a little bit of pause?
Yeah, a little bit. He didn't seem to like the whip much in that start either, but you know, the track had a little bit of moisture in it, so I can forgive it. He's undefeated. He's a forward type. Let's just see how he continues to go on. Constitution's Obviously, the two-year-old crop and now three-year-old crop of constitutions have been running. So we'll see how Independence Hall continues to progress. But, you know, he's not one that I would giggle at someone for making a future bet on, depending on the odds you're getting. But he's also not one that I'd make a future bet on.
Well, it all depends on price. Now, before this race, he was when I was on TV in the UK on New Year's Day, I was looking at 1-7 for this race. Funny enough, he ended up 1-9 here. Or did he drift out to 1-5? What did he end up paying? I don't have that in front of me. I'll look that up while I talk.
10 cents on a dollar.
10 cents.
10 cents on the dollar.
Yeah, 1-9, 1-10. Pretty funny. So the 1-7 wasn't horrible, I guess, in that instance. But I was saying I thought if you liked them, maybe take the 25-1 for the Derby. But now that's a UK price. I think in the pools here, off that giant speed figure, he was considerably shorter. You'd have to have a little bit of pause based on the regression, but who knows? I wouldn't be surprised if some other speed figures end up having him a little bit faster there. Certainly one of the two-year-olds to watch as they turn three. We'll be spending a lot of time talking about that for the prep races for the Triple Crown Series that are going to be happening here in New York and also on the other show week in, week out. That will be one of the big topics of conversation, and you can hear us over there. What do you say, JK? This might be a shorter show, but that's okay. It's that time of year. Some interesting stuff to talk about on Saturday. Shall we dive right into this pick five?
Let's get it.
All right, let's start off with race number five. Claimers going 6.5 on the dirt. Big full field of 12 signed on. How did you see this one, JK?
Yeah, you know, I'm going to take a stand here. I'm going to single in the first leg. I'm going to use the 10 O'Shea. Can you see? I thought some of the inside horses had some speed that should be able to hook up a little bit. I think O'Shea, can you see, will be able to come from off of it. If you look at the last race going 6.5, came wide there, was running on late, and that was an open claimer. He was claimed there off of Linda Rice. And if you look at the three prior races at 25,000, the horse was bet in all of those spots, 4-1, 4-1, 8-1, was bet there, now drops in a little bit and is going to be running for 8,000. I think it's a pretty big drop there, and I think should get the pace to run at, drawn outside. Manny Franco, all the things you need to see. I thought O'Shea, can you see, is going to run them all down late. And I'm going to start the pick five with a single. I like starting with a single when I can, because you can always come back and play the pick four if it doesn't go your way.
Gone are the days where JK's handicapping is a no-closer zone. I'm glad to hear it. This was my top pick as well. I don't have much to add, just that there looks to be a ton of speed, and this one has the best numbers of the closers. I don't mind the claim here at all. Brimstone has this one on the form book, but that day it was a very different pace scenario than what we're going to see here. But I did make a note, see who JK likes for backups. Sounds like there won't be any backups. We'll start this one out stone cold with O'Shea, can you see? And as you point out, we can always come back and play back in the pick four, which is a three-year-old starter allowance going 6 furlongs. I was a little bit interested in Yes for Less in this spot, JK, as a new face versus this group. Ran well enough on the lead last time, showed some solid kick on turf previously, now cutting back. I thought this one could be interesting at what might be a square price. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I like Yes for Less was one I was going to definitely use. And then I was also going to use the one, Him, She, Kisses. I don't want the 1A, but you know, obviously if I get the 1A with the whole package, I'll take it. If for whatever reason the one scratches the 1A runs, then I'll pivot off of that. But I like the one drawn in the four hole, not going to be down on the inside. Should be able to sit right outside of the speed. Is very tactical, finishes well, has the wind going 7, but the 6 furlong split, the figure for the 6 furlong was quick enough to fit with these. So I thought it was going to be the one in the five were the ones that I definitely wanted to use. And then the 7 microscope, who broke the maiden last time when Todd dropped the horse for 40. Ran well enough. This is the horse I love. It's probably a horse I'd use as more like a B type. You know, Siaka off of Pletcher isn't exactly like a, hey, I'm gonna make that happen. But no offense, it's, you know, Todd's a 25% trainer. Siaka's a 7% trainer. So I think there's, you know, I obviously have to pay attention to that. But that horse is more of a B type for me. I kind of only want the 1 and the 5. The 1 and the 4. No, 5. 1 and the 5. Yes for Less as my A horse.
What about Dan the Man Can here as a potential backup, JK? Fits nicely on pace figures according to time form and looks just generally okay as one to maybe have in the mix if we're going to be getting skinny elsewhere. You had something against this runner?
Yeah, I think the horse will be bet, and I think there's a lot of negatives there, right? Won the last race, so it's going to be overbetted this race. Had Rosario last time, Dylan Davis this time. I don't think anyone's going to argue there's a downgrade there. Was bet last time. I'm going to be bet again this time. The last race was off the turf, so it's like off the turf and bet. It's like it's almost like perfect storm is how the horse got the maiden broke and now has to face a much tougher company. If he beats me, he beats me, but I'm going to try to beat him.
Fair enough. I don't mind the Rosario off thing so much, given that he's out in California. It's not like he's on another in this race, but I think you make plenty of points. I didn't like him as an A, but I do think I'm going to keep him in the mix as a backup if I can afford it, depending on how the rest of this ticket shakes out.
My thought about Rosario is not one of those, oh, Rosario off, he picked something else type of situation. It's more of a, if I'm laying out all the perfect things that fell into place for Dan the Man Can, having a great rider in Rosario, being bet, the off-the-turf thing, I'm simply saying that now he's not going to have that great rider like he did previously. Not that he, you know, I just didn't want you to think I was going along like the Rosario got off thing.
I gotcha. It makes sense to me. And, you know, if Dylan Davis crosses you off the holiday card list, so be it. Let's move on to race number 7. We've got 4 and up New York allowance types going a mile here. JK, I'll let you kick it off.
Yeah, I don't want to say I'm going to spread here. I'm going to try to use a lot. I think the 1 and the 2 are definitely A horses. If the 1 and the 1 A work, you know, they both run. They're both tough on their own right. So that, you know, that's interesting. Rudy off of Linda. And then Rudy there. And then there's a Linda off of Rudy with the 2 Joe Smoking Gun. Ran well last time for Rudy. I'd imagine Linda will be able to keep that one going in the same direction. I'm kind of against the 3 control group. Rudy had the horse. Linda Rice had the horse. Jeremiah had the horse. And Service had the horse. And none of those 4 won. Now, it's interesting the horse keeps getting claimed from them. You know, like in a circle, but the last time the horse won was with Rudy. So I'm kind of against that one. Probably takes some money. Usually takes money. Has Service there. I'm gonna try to beat that one if I can. Pretty much the 1 and the 2 for me. I'll save with the 4 Singapore Trader and the 5 Danbury. But those will just be B's or C's for me. The A horses will just be the 1 and the 2, and I'll try to beat the 3 control group.
I'm with you on trying to beat control group. I like Danbury in here. Competitive on figures and looks to be the best speed signed on. That's a potent combination, especially when you consider the good recent form against a group where there's some questions in that regard. I have nothing against the entry. They'll be there. I respect your 2, but for my top pick, I'm going to go with number 5, Danbury, and I'll be pressing a little bit in the picks. Sounds like that you don't have too much disagreement there.
No, I don't have too much. I mean, you know, whenever there's a Service in the race, it's always tricky. They could show more speed, especially second time Service. So they could hot up a little bit. But you're right. Danbury definitely fits and has the rider that will get you there to the front end. But isn't necessarily like the blazing fastest animal in the world. Doesn't have to be clear.
To clarify about that, just for a minute, sorry to interrupt. I don't think controlling speed necessarily. I think the best speed. You know, there's a little bit of a difference. This is a horse. I'm not saying, oh, there's going to definitely be a pace advantage. I just think this one is going to be in front turning for home.
That makes sense.
You had one more point you made before I rudely interrupted you?
No, you're fine. Just that Foolish Ghost is going to press that one. And drawn to the outside, Kendrick could end up down on the rail with Foolish Ghost pressing to the outside and possibly even getting in front and putting Danbury in a little bit of a jackpot. I just feel like those 2 are going to be fighting for position and it could heat up a little bit. Danbury probably isn't going to want to be inside, wants to probably be clear. Foolish Ghost is going to press.
Yeah, I saw it differently.
Showed a lot of speed, 2 back.
I saw the 6 just going.
Foolish Ghost.
I saw the 6 going and the 5 flopping outside and Kendrick getting a beautiful trip. That's part of what I – and then just blowing up the 6 and taking the race. That's how I saw it. But, I mean, you know, it's interesting. That's what's fun about race design. You can come up with these alternative scenarios, and this is the kind of stuff jockeys have to think about. And we'll all see how it plays out about 3:26 on Saturday over at the Big A. Let's move on to race number 8, JK. This is our – featured race of the day, the La Verdad Stakes. Cool to see La Verdad with a race named after her. This one going 7 furlongs. We've got a big favorite in here. I'm not sure we can beat the big favorite in here. Pause for the Cause just looks to have them over a barrel. Is this a single and move on, or are you going to want some backups?
Yeah, I mean, look, I can sit here and we can talk about the race and we can make up scenarios and I can give you horses that you can waste your money on. If she breaks, she wins. And there's just really not a whole lot to it. There's no one that can compete with her from an early pace standpoint. There's no one in here that's going to press her from an early pace standpoint. And there's no one in who has comparable numbers from a final figure standpoint. She gallops in this race. And if someone else wins, I wasn't going to find them.
Are you comfortable putting 100% of your pick five life behind Pause for the Cause?
100%.
I don't disagree. I was wondering if you might have something clever, which is why I asked, but I was comfortable going to the mat with that one. Let's move on to race number 9, the race where we see how we're going to get paid. These are 16 dime claimers going 6 furlongs on the dirt. And JK, I'll let you begin.
Yeah, this is tough. I always try to look for, when I'm looking at these late races, these, you know, they're usually lower level types of races. I want to find horses that are going to be forwardly placed or are dropping in class. I think that those are the types that typically get the job done. I don't have anything creative. I'm going to spread quite a bit here. Obviously, I took a pretty big stand, not a big stand, but I took a stand in the race previously, and I took a stand in the first leg with 2 singles. So it allows me an opportunity to kind of spread a little bit. I'm going to use a 5 Dazzling Speed, who's shown some speed, 6 It's a Chance. The 8 Peggy Sue, first time Linda, that has shown some ability to kind of get out of the gates a little bit quicker. I'm even going to use a horse like the 10. It's a Keeper, right? That horse has shown some speed in the past, albeit it was on a sloppy racetrack and didn't do that well, has had some ability to show some forward progression there. Appletini, I'm going to use as many as I possibly can. Anyone who's shown any speed in their career or has a final number that fits with these, I'm going to use them because I really don't know. There's no standouts. There's no huge droppers here. There's no like progressive type. I'm going to use as many as I possibly can, considering the tightness of my ticket earlier.
Timeform has this race as fast, but it's not getting me off of using Appletini. We've talked before on this show, not with you, JK, but we've talked in general on the show about Leah Giamatti having pretty good numbers off the claim. This one just looks to fit, might be controlling speed. Plus, JK, named after one of your favorite beverages.
I actually have never, I should probably try to, I've never had an Appletini. I mean, I've sipped one or something before, but I probably need to do a little bit of research into the martini department. I'm always interested in an interesting cocktail. I've just never kind of gotten into it. The big fella, the Prince of Keeneland, he likes a Grey Goose martini, extra cold with blue cheese olives. And I dare you to not make it extra cold. Or to leave out the blue cheese olives.
That actually sounds delicious. The Appletini less so. I was being cheeky. An Appletini, not really a martini at all. But I'm down with the martini pre-Italian dinner in Saratoga. I'll do that. It's not like my typical what I drink, but I will go there in the right circumstance, and it would be a pleasure, always a pleasure, to raise a glass with the Prince of Druthers / Keeneland. So Timeform mentioned this race as fast. We both talked about a bunch of fast horses early. Do you see any scenario where this melts down, and would you want to try to maybe look for one closer to include on your ticket as well?
You know, the thing about these cheap races is I've always said is that the difference between a great horse, a good horse, and a cheap horse is the great ones can overcome any obstacle. The good ones overcome a lot of obstacles, and the cheap ones they don't want to pass horses. They can't really overcome obstacles. For me, it just feels like this is a race where even though it seems like it's going to be fast, it seems like it's got a potential to fall apart. The closers that are going to show up here, they still don't want to pass horses. And so if you find a closer that you absolutely fall in love with, then I welcome you. I thought the 2 Nan's Plan made a little bit of sense. Second time Gargan dropping in here a little bit. as one that could pick up the pieces, but I just want the stuff that's going to be forward, because in most situations like this, those horses just hang on while the other ones are ready to go home.
Obviously, as you know from my Appletini selection, I agree with you. If I were to throw one closer in here, and I have the money to do so at low cost, I might throw Here Comes Helen in, because I'm expecting double-digit odds, and the horse just looks to have a little bit of finish. Can you accept that one?
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. You know, the Finger Lakes Shipper. I apparently, I was listening to Talking Horses the other day, and Andy Serling was making fun of Anthony Stabile about the all of these Finger Lakes horses he's been saying are going to come down here and run well and haven't done so. So apparently that's been a theme up there. But yeah, look, this is a wide open race. I don't recommend the all button, because there's at least two or three you can get rid of. But this is the type of situation where I would want a modified all based on the way that I'm playing the early races with those two singles. I can afford to do that in this spot.
We might be having a show soon on this network where we get to talk a little bit more nuts and bolts about horizontal wagering strategy, and you can go deeper in those type of thoughts. But of course, what you do in the last leg is going to be predicated on the overall cost of the ticket to that point. That's a thought we'll put a pin in for another time. You mentioned our friend, the Big A, Anthony Stabile. We are overdue to have him back on. We had our buddy Andy Serling on with Spencer recently, but it's been a little while for the Big A, and I might have the TV show. He basically went into TV mourning, from what I understood, after Game of Thrones went off the air. But I've got the show that's going to bring him back. Do you know which one I'm intimating, talking about here?
No, what is it?
Mandalorian, baby. Perfect for a Game of Thrones fan too, I think, because you're in the sci-fi fantasy realm, you've got some cast crossover, and much more important than anything else, it's just really, really good. Cinematic quality to the direction and the writing and the characterization. And, you know, I'm in the tank for Star Wars, generally speaking. My dad took me out of kindergarten to see the original Star Wars 42 years ago on opening day, and it's always been near to me. I haven't loved a lot of the stuff that's come since the first two, but I'm definitely a Star Wars guy. But Mandalorian is one of the best things in the Star Wars universe, as far as I'm concerned. Certainly, if you like Rogue One, it's something that you're going to like. I don't know. Are you interested? How much of a Star Wars guy are you?
Yeah, it's funny. I'm just surprised, really, that a boomer like yourself knows how to use Disney Plus.
Boomer? Oh, my God. That is... I don't curse on this show, JK. This is about the closest I've ever come. The phrase starts with millennial, and you can guess what it ends with. Oh my God!
No,
I'm Gen X all the way, baby. 1972, for the record. Don't hit me with that. Don't lay that boomer junk on me.
So here's my Star Wars thing. My two older brothers, Gen X, is very similar in your age group. They love it for all the same reasons that you do. So I always kind of found it interesting based on that. Episode 5, 6, or 4, 5, and 6 obviously were the best. Those are the ones I liked the most. 1, 2, and 3 were a little bit tricky. I enjoyed 7.
Yep.
I enjoyed 7. I thought the whole Kylo Ren introduction was great. I think he's one of my favorite characters in Star Wars. And then the last one was a little bit janky. And then Austin and I saw The Last Jedi the other day, and I enjoyed it.
You got your names wrong. Last Jedi was the janky 8th one, as you described it. And the new one is called The Rise of Skywalker.
Oh, really? Yeah. Okay. That's the one I saw, The Rise of Skywalker. It was good. It was good, though.
I could tell from this conversation which levels of Star Wars fandom we are. But let me say this. I don't think you need to be in the tank for Star Wars to enjoy The Mandalorian. It's very good. And I think maybe in the episode description, I'm going to say, you know, PTF and JK talk about the late pick 5 from Naya and why the Big A Stabile should watch The Mandalorian. That's going right in the description. What do you think?
I think that works.
All right. Fair enough. I think that's probably enough for this show. We went a little bit longer than we even planned for with the little Mandalorian tangent. But with that said, we're going to thank you, JK. We're going to thank our sponsors at Naira Bets. And we're going to thank all of you, the listeners. We got another year's worth, not officially signed on yet, but I have a feeling there's going to be another year's worth of Naira Bets shows coming down the pike. We have a lot of fun with them, and we encourage people to sign up today, take advantage of that new member bonus. And there's a lot of things that are good about Naira Bets in terms of being able to watch all those CDI replays, and there's some good stuff. And if you haven't signed up already, you got to do so and get that $200 bonus that I talk about before and after the show using that promo code MONEY20. This show's been a production of In the Money Media. In the Money Media's business manager is Drew Cotney. Our chief creative officer is Jonathan Kinchin. I'm Peter Thomas Fornital. May you win all your photos. 'Cause I'm in. I'm in a New York state of mind. Kick off the new year right with a second chance cash back bonus from Naira Bets. This Saturday in the Mucho Macho Man Stakes at Gulfstream, bet $20 to win on one horse using the Naira Bets app. If your horse finishes second, you get your $20 back. New to Naira Bets? No problem. Sign up for Naira Bets today with the promo code MONEY20, that's MONEY20, and get a deposit match bonus up to $200 with Naira Bets. You can bet any track, from anywhere, at any time. Go to NairaBets.com or check out the Naira Bets app.